So if you're in sales, you probably notice that sales cycles are running quite a bit longer thanks to COVID-19. Today, we're going to talk about what you can do about it. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 30,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so here we are, smack dab in the middle of a worldwide pandemic, and putting on my Captain Obvious cape, if I were to say to you, well, you know, sales cycles are taking quite a bit longer, that's the part where you get to say, duh. But the million-dollar question, and the part where many of us wouldn't be so inclined to say duh, is, well, what are we going to do about it? What can we do to either shorten that sales cycle or at the very least stay top of mind long enough so that when this pandemic and all this craziness is over, and it will be someday, that we're top of mind and that we can move into position and close that deal. So today I have 5 actionable tips for you. So usually right about now I say, hey, if you're in the car, it'd be a good time to pull over and get out that notebook and take notes. But nobody's commuting anywhere. So I know that you're home and that you're able to take notes. But seriously, if you're home and listening to this, or maybe you're on the exercise bike or the treadmill, this is definitely going to be an episode where you're going to want to sit down, take a lot of notes, because lots of seriously actionable tips for you. So that is a long time for me to be telling you about what I'm going to be telling you. So I say we get down to business. The very first thing that we're going to want to do is, if we have this longer sales cycle, we obviously want to keep the prospect engaged between meetings and certainly during the sales cycle. Now, we also have to recognize that they have lots of things on the brain, especially if they're in survival mode right now. So, I mean, we have to realize that we were already starting from a place where we have a highly distracted decision maker. They have lots of things that are coming at them. Now you add into the mix a world pandemic, and just all hell breaks loose as far as attention spans and remembering things. So how the heck can we stay top of mind and keep the prospect engaged? So the very first thing, and I've talked about this before on the podcast, is I'm a really big believer in assigning homework after each and every meeting that we have. Now, what I mean by that is just having action items. And I always package it as homework because I just want to kind of have fun with it. And what I do at the end of every single meeting is I'll say something like this. Let's say a meeting with Jane. I'll say, you know, Jane, I'm definitely going to have my homework cut out for me. And, you know, here are a few things that I'm going to be doing. And, you know, you had requested this, and I'm going to get you these items by this date. Also, I'm going to need to maybe work up a few, you know, sample agendas for you for a training event online. I'll get that to you by this coming Thursday. So I'm basically outlining the things that I need to be doing as well as the date that this needs to be done. And the reason why I'm doing this is because we always want to gently tighten the leash, not jerk the leash. And that's a big mistake a lot of people make in sales, when they jerk the leash. That's when they're putting pressure on the prospect and they tap out. They go silent, they ghost you. Or, I mean, heck, if you come from New York like I do, they might just flat out tell you to F off. So the beauty of homework, aside from you assigning it to yourself, is that then you're going to say something like this, provided you're speaking with Jane. Because if you're speaking with Tom and you call Tom, Jane, he might knock your jaw loose. So you don't want to do that. But let's just say I'm speaking with Jane. I'm then going to say, okay, fair is fair. Here are a few homework items for you. And I'm going to outline them. Now, the reason why we have this concept of homework is because, well, you know, we want to keep them engaged between meetings. Because even in the best of times, I believe that's when you and I are most vulnerable. When we're in a meeting with someone and we're doing a discovery call, needs analysis, a demo, if we're doing a decent job, we have their attention. But what about that time between meetings when they have all the fires they're putting out right now? All the things, especially as things here in the U.S. will be starting to reopen. At least the optimist in me wants to believe that's going to be happening fairly soon. People, again, are very distracted. So you and I are incredibly vulnerable between meetings. So the idea of the homework keeps people engaged between meetings. It keeps the momentum going because we all know, again, even in the best of times, a deal can fizzle out because all of us are guilty of that bright, shiny object thing. And especially decision makers, right? They're doers. They're men and women of action. So all of a sudden, they see a bright, shiny object, they run in that direction. And you know what? During a pandemic, there's lots of those bright, shiny objects. And unfortunately, they're survival things that they're trying to cling to. So again, we want to keep that momentum going, and we don't want that to kind of fizzle out. The other thing with homework is that I really believe it gives you an early warning sign or an early warning signal. It's certainly an early warning system to show us if we have someone with a high level of urgency or someone that's just not that into us. And wouldn't it be better to find those things out earlier in the sales cycle before we expend time and energy and resources? And you know what? To be completely honest with you, before we start, you know, having hope for a deal that really was never meant to be. I also believe that homework is important, again, even during the best of times, because it allows the prospect to test drive the relationship and see what it's like to work with you. But also remember something, and this is something I've said in the past, you know, prospects judge us, right? I mean, we'd all agree on that. Prospects judge us, but we're allowed to judge them as well. So it gives us a chance to test drive that relationship as well before a check is ever written. So I think it's very, very important. So that's item number one. We want to use this idea of homework. We want to have timelines in there. And the reasons are, again, we want them to be engaged and thinking about us. Because when they're completing an action item, guess who they're thinking about? They're thinking about you. They're not thinking about the 10,000 other things that are competing for attention right now. So that's item number one. Item number two, I'm a big fan of using a recap after each and every meeting. Now, if I were to ask you, why do you think I use a recap? You would probably, and there's nothing wrong with this because it happens to be right, you would probably say, well, you know, it's good business etiquette. You know, it kind of keeps everybody on point. And yes, that's part of the reason why I use recaps, because again, I want to gently tighten the leash. I don't want to jerk the leash and put high pressure and really start hounding people for decisions and to do things. But the recap, yes, it reminds people of what they've committed to. But also, you know, and this is kind of a duh moment as well, it certainly reminds people that you were listening to them. And I believe every human being wants to feel that they've been heard. But there's some psychological reasons that go deeper than just being heard. You know, when you use a prospect's exact words and phrases that hopefully you uncovered during a good thorough needs analysis, discovery call, if you use their words and phrases, what's happening is that especially if there was pain that you discovered or excitement for embracing an opportunity. Because remember, it's not always pain that we're looking for. And you can throw out that whole notion that we were all taught from the beginning of time in sales, that it's, you got to find the pain. No, it's not just the pain. Pain, forgive me for being sick, is better for us to discover in terms of getting somebody off the fence of indifference, because we'll do more to alleviate or avoid pain than we will opportunity. But if all you do is focus on finding the quote-unquote pain, and if there isn't any existent, which is kind of a ridiculous thing to say right now during a pandemic, but I kind of want you to have this skill beyond the pandemic, well, then you're going to leave with a whole lot of nothing. So we also want to help them embrace opportunities. And when you use their exact words and phrases, guess what that does between meetings? It triggers the emotion that they had when they were excited about the future. They were optimistic about the future and changing something, improving something, alleviating pain. It can also bring them back to the pain. And that pain is very, very important to jumpstart the emotions, to keep that deal moving forward, keep the momentum going. So that's the other reason why you want to do it. But the other psychological reason why we're using recaps and we're using their words and phrases is because we've all heard of mirroring. And the way that we've learned mirroring, I don't want to say it was wrong the way we learned it. I think we learned it in a rather obvious way. We learn mirroring in a face-to-face type of context. I'm sitting across to you, you lean back, I lean back. You tilt your head to the side, I tilt my head to the side. But there are other ways that you can mirror people. And the whole, just as a side note, the whole reason why we are mirroring, and, you know, whatever way that we do it, is because people like themselves. And they've actually done studies on this. I've heard Tony Robbins talk about this. I've even done my own observations. When we are in rapport with someone, what happens naturally is that we begin to mirror not only their body language, but their words and phrases. Even there's been times, and a lot of people think I'm kidding, but this really happens with some people. Did you ever find yourself in a conversation where you're almost inadvertently mirroring their accent, even, and how maybe, you know, like how their cadence, if you will, as well? So the problem with visual mirroring is that it's very obvious, it's highly detectable, and most people come across as a mime, right? And it's just very much cliched. But when you mirror words and phrases, it's a very powerful rapport building technique. So I don't want you to forget about that benefit of the recap. Now, the next thing that I want you to think about that you can do in terms of keeping things moving forward is that you want to do everything you can, and feel free to say duh until I tell you how to do this. You obviously want to minimize cancellations and no-shows when you have meetings. And right now, one of the things that we've all been experiencing is more cancellations and more no-shows. It's nothing personal. It's just we have somebody, remember, who already was in a highly distracted state because they're a decision maker. But now they're a decision maker during a worldwide pandemic. So there's a lot of things that are tugging at their attention. So there are a number of ways and things that you can do to minimize the amount of cancellations that you're getting. But one idea, and I wish I can remember the person's name. I saw this on LinkedIn. I said, man, this is absolutely brilliant. But you know how we send a calendar invite? And forgive me, again, I've been wearing the Captain Obvious cape a lot this episode. But if you're not using calendar invites, man, it might be a good time to do it because, again, people are very, very distracted. But most of the time when we send a calendar invite, we'll just have the basics, right? I mean, the call-in number for the call or the link for the Zoom meeting or whatever it is. But there's a really cool thing that you can do that will help decrease the amount of no-shows that you have, where it has the details section of your calendar invite. What I want you to do is consider putting an agenda in there. But the agenda that you're going to put in there needs to come from the point where you kind of mentally fire yourself, rehire yourself as your prospect, and make sure that in that agenda, in those details for the with the calendar invite, you kind of answer the question that is subconsciously going through their head right now: what's in it for me to keep this meeting? How is this a good use of my time? So if you do that and you include that in the details, and as a little bonus tip, you remember before we said how using their words and phrases can be an emotional trigger for them to bring them back to that emotional state where they were like, yeah, bullshit, man, I gotta make this go away, or that excitement of embracing an opportunity. Well, maybe you could use their words and phrases in the details of the calendar invite. So give that a shot, and you'll notice that it can help. You know, I mean, I would love it if we had a magic bullet here and we could eliminate no-shows. But I think you'll find that not only will it reduce it, but you're going to feel better, because you're going to feel that you had something that was, you felt might have been out of your control, but now you're doing everything you can. Keep the deal moving forward. Keep them showing up for the meetings. The next thing that you want to do is you want to start throughout the sales cycle using more evidence. Let me say it again, and then I'm going to define evidence for you. You want to start using more evidence. We use evidence to reduce doubt, hesitation, certainly objections, any kind of skepticism. And by the way, are we living in times right now where there's a lot of doubt, a lot of skepticism, certainly objections, even stalls and things like that? So let me give you a few examples of evidence. Providing facts. I think that's very, very important that you do that. Obviously, testimonials, especially if you have any testimonials that have derived during, you know, these challenging times as everybody's been beating to death. Samples, if you're able to do it. And you know what? Again, silly little bonus tip. As you go along, there's always little questions that we ask that are important things, right? I mean, you know, obviously you need to, like, if you were meeting with somebody and there wasn't a pandemic going on, you'd want their direct line and or a cell number, things like that that make communication easier. One of the things that I would do, and you could even do this in your prospecting, is ask, you know, and just kind of preface and say, boy, I hope this isn't creepy, but, you know, being that everybody's working from home, you know, is there an address that I can hard copy some things to you, where I can send some hard copies of some things that will help in your decision making? And I would actually do that during the prospecting phase. But at the very latest, the moment you set an appointment with someone right now, I would just take control of it and say, listen, I need to FedEx some things to you that are going to help you with this upcoming meeting. What's your address? Where can I send it? And do it that way. That'll help you out. So the other thing that I just wanted to, you know, provide, we said facts, we said testimonials, samples, case studies, you know, demonstrations and demos are a powerful form of evidence. But there's one particular type of demo that we teach in all our courses that I wanted to share with you, because I think this is a time for me not to hold back. So I just want to share it with you. And it's one of the things I've been teaching my coaching clients. And I call it the potato chip demo. Now, the whole idea with the potato chip is that it doesn't feed you, right? It just kind of, you know the deal with the potato chip. You can't just eat one. So if we're doing a demo that's a potato chip demo, it's not meant to satisfy them. It's meant to make them hungry for more. So during your sales cycle, one of the things you can do, let's say that we've already met, we've done a thorough needs analysis. And there were a few things in my training program where you really perked up, or we both agreed that could really address some of the challenges that you're having. What I could do in a potato chip demo, let's just say if I'm bringing you through my online program that you're considering for all your sales reps, what I could do, just as kind of a way to keep in touch with you and make you hungry for more and provide this powerful evidence, I could highlight a feature of my program, or, you know, the seamlessness of the online solution that I have to offer right now. And I could just do a very quick pre-recorded demo. And I can go on WebEx, I can hit the record button, just take a quick 3 to 5 minute you're in and you're out type of demo where I'm highlighting that feature. Again, I'm not doing a 30 minute demo. I'm not looking to have you leave that demo with a full belly. I wanna make you hungry for more. And what I could even do at the end of the demo, which is a good keep in touch type of tactic, we always talk about in sales and especially marketing, the call to action. Again, in our programs, we teach a different concept, and it's called the reverse call to action. So a reverse call to action, instead of me asking you to do something like click here for more information, call me if you'd like me to elaborate on this, or, you know, that kind of thing. What I can do instead is I'm going to tell you of my next move and not ask you to do anything. So at the end of that potato chip demo, hopefully I've built some momentum, I've made you hungry, and I could say at the end of it, you know what, Jane, there's obviously a few more things, a few more ideas that I've come up with for you. I'm actually going to be calling you at 9:45 a.m. on April 24th, and I'm going to take you through it then. Hope you'll take my call because we can really dig much deeper into the program then, right? So that's the potato chip demo. You can use it during your prospecting, but during the sales cycle, I think it's very important, again, because we're no longer living in a world where people will hear things once and get it and own it. We have lots of things right now in this pandemic that are tugging for their attention. You know, you can certainly use screenshots as a form of evidence, but there's a lot more to that. In fact, again, one of the things I teach in our programs is there's actually 12 forms of evidence that I teach to help you. But again, we're using evidence to reduce and or eliminate doubt and skepticism and objections and that, you know, that hesitation that people have during these times. And then last but not least, and I kind of alluded to this a few times already, you really, because of the longer sales cycle, need to have a real solid stay in touch cadence. And it really has to be value driven instead of just calling to check in. In fact, what I like to do is mix sales and value. And one of the things we've been teaching a lot in these podcasts, I've been talking a lot about it, is this concept of off versus on messaging and why we need to have both of them. So let me first just take you through a major pet peeve that I have right now. And you have a lot of thought leaders out there that, number one, you have a lot of them saying you shouldn't sell at a time like this. That to me is just, it's nonsense. It's terrible advice. I think it's irresponsible advice because unless you have deep pockets, you are going to just, you know, you're going to go broke, and that's not good. I also think that as sales reps, we have a responsibility to the organization, and obviously not at the expense of the client. But I mean, you know, when we're out there on the front line bringing home the bacon, you know, we're keeping the support people fed right now. And when I go through LinkedIn and I see all these companies that are laying people off and everything, you know, it just really upsets me when I see people dispensing advice that basically says for us to tap out right now. So that's one thing that just doesn't sit well with me. But also, there are people right now that are saying that, okay, you know, and this is pretty much under the heading of you shouldn't sell right now. But people are saying, well, you should just be giving value and you should just be helping and you should just be being kind. Again, of course you should be being kind. We should have been being kind all along. It shouldn't take a world pandemic to suddenly give us the wake-up call. But hey, man, whatever it takes to get us there, I'm cool with that. But the whole point is that if I'm just being helpful and I'm just being kind, again, you know, I'm not helping you as the prospect because I'm not a charity. I mean, my solutions cost money. So in order for me to help you at, you know, the highest level, we have to have a transaction in there. So I'm not for it that way either. So what I always say is that when we find ourselves with extremes, one extreme is that you're being insensitive and you're getting into pressure tactics during this longer sales cycle and you're sell, and you're just calling to check in, which is lame and it's cliched. And then the other end of that is this whole idea of I'm just going to give. And I'm just going to be kind. And here's something for you. Here's something for free. I'm just calling. You know, how are you doing with all of this? Right? That's important to do. But again, we're not going to pay the bills that way. So I look at it like a football field, right? Or a soccer field, if you will. And whatever way you want to look at it. But I have these goalposts representing two extreme sides of or philosophies, if you will. I try to think, well, what's the middle of the road? What's that halfway point of the field that I can play? And that's where we want to play in right now. So this is where off-on messaging comes in. And off-message is not sales-related. It's pure value. It's pure giving. And on-message is a sales, but not necessarily salesy message, where we have the call to action, we have an ask, we have a conversation around the deal that we're working on. So let me give you a few examples of some off messages that you might want to do. And then I'm going to give you a free resource where you can come up with about 30 plus ideas, and I give you a bunch of ideas too. Obviously, I mean, during the sales cycle, if we have a longer sales cycle, we can't have every message be, do you want to buy? You ready to buy? Let me sell you something. So how about some kind of communication where we're doing some matchmaking, where we're introducing them to someone that they need to know? How about resources? How about content? How about that evidence that I talked about before? We're providing them with that. So again, things that could be helpful and value-driven, and it doesn't even have to be business right now. I mean, certainly, you know, I mean, now we're over a month into it, but 30 days ago, I was saying, hey, you know, anything that you can offer to help people work from home more efficiently, that's a great off message. One of the things I did with my practice, with some of my prospects and with my clients too, is when it came up on the weekend, I sent them a resource, everyone a resource that I found that talked about all these really cool virtual things. I think on there was a tour of Disney World and zoos, and there was all kinds of online concerts, things. It was like 25 or 26 things that you can do online. I sent out a resource where there was 300 free sales lessons that were audio lessons that were pre-recorded, absolutely free. I sent that out. That is an off message because there's no ask. I'm not trying to sell you something. But with your messaging, not just during a pandemic, but all times, there are a lot of different things you should be considering in your cadence. And the two things that I want to talk about very quickly, one of them we just covered, is your message. We said, hey, let's consider a nice compromise where we have off messages and on messages. But it's not just the message, folks. It's also varying the vehicle that you use to deliver the message. And what happens is when you keep using the same vehicle over and over and over again, in a way, it can become as boring, especially during a long sales cycle, as spewing the same message. So what we want to do is think of it as a courtship. And think of it in a way that we don't want to have the same shitty date at the same shitty place and have the same shitty conversation over and over and over again. So we want to vary the conversation, right, with our messaging, but we also want to vary the vehicle. So the vehicle would be the way that we get that message out. So instead of just the phone, instead of just email, right? Or as most salespeople do, both email and phone. And we beat the hell out of those two vehicles. Remember, there's LinkedIn as well. Remember that if we're asking for the address, we can send things to them, snail mail. And again, it's not always going to be all just business. I mean, we could be sending greeting cards and having some fun. Don't underestimate the power of a breath of fresh air right now for people, or the chance to lighten up, or the chance to laugh. And we could do some things with funny greeting cards and, you know, keep in touch that way. And then last but not least, the other reason why we vary the vehicle is that every platform has different functionality to enhance the message that we're sending. I mean, for example, a lot of people don't know this, and they know it and they're not leveraging it, but over on LinkedIn, you have some functionality over there that's incredible with their messaging. You can embed a video. You can embed a voice message. There are things you can do there. When I send you something in the mail, you have a tangible type of representation, especially when you are reinforcing something that is an intangible. What do I mean by that? Well, there are things that are tangible things that we sell. There are also intangible things that we sell. For example, you guys might offer with your software solution free training, but what the hell does training look like? Well, what you can do is you can use that idea with the evidence of samples. You could maybe send them a sample of something, maybe a hard copy outline of the training that you're going to be doing. Maybe what you can do is maybe send them a hard copy of, and I've done this too, a training manual. This is one of three training manuals you guys are going to have. We can also do it with quality control. What does quality control look like? Well, you can send them maybe internal documentation and internal checklists, internal communication systems that you have that are hard copy or whatever. You can print out a screenshot for them and send it to them. You guys get the idea, but remember, every platform offers different functionality that can enhance the message. And that's pretty much it, folks. I mean, there you have it. I mean, there's five ideas right there for you. And we talked about, first and foremost, this idea of homework and why it's important to kind of keep people engaged between meetings. The idea of the recap is not just business etiquette. It can kind of get them back to the emotional state that they were in when they said, man, damn it, we got to make a change right now. We talked about how we can minimize cancellations by including the agenda in the details. We talked about the use of evidence. We talked about the importance of a stay in touch cadence. So there are five ideas for you, all meaningless until you actually get out there and give it a shot. Now, we're actually going to be talking a lot more about this. We have an upcoming course, a two-part course online from the safety of your own home. That's going to be happening on Friday, May 1st from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern. And then again on May 8th, again, which is a Friday, from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern. And it's called How to Close Business During COVID-19. If you'd like to learn more, and I hope you do because it's always nice working with you guys, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/close now. All one word, all lowercase, yoursalesplaybook.com/close now. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I'm hoping that you guys are all well, you're all healthy, your spirits are good, and as always, if there's ever anything I can do to help, please reach out to me personally. We'll talk to you soon. God bless.